This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name's Hilary McNevin. I have the honour and luck of filling in for Pete Dillon today. We're talking pop-ups, events. Is it an event? Is it a pop-up? Is it upside down, inside out? We don't know, but we're going to discover what a pop-up is today and the goods and the bads and the fun stuff about it. So stick around for the next hour. We're going to have a lot of fun. Thanks.
Today is cravings. Cravings. We're talking cravings.
Oh, we are talking cravings. That always makes me giggle, that introduction. Hello, everyone. My name is Hilary McNevin. I am a freelance food writer here in Melbourne, and I am a very old friend of Pete Dillon's, and I'm lucky enough when he can't make it, I get to fill in, and I really enjoy that. Oh, we're here on Joy 94.9. It's a beautiful Saturday afternoon in Melbourne, and we're going to be talking pop-ups today, but first I would like to tell you about, actually first I'm going to go back a step. There is two young men hopefully listening to this radio station right now, and I'd like to say a very quick hello to Jackson and Noah. You know who you are if you're listening, and I just want to say I'm really looking forward to our rugby season ahead, so thanks very much. And I'm getting back to business now, but I really wanted to say hi to you guys. Anyway, so pop-ups we're talking about. What inspired the pop-up? Basically, the subject was, it's the end of the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival tomorrow. Now, we've just had 2 weeks of extraordinary food events. It's just this absolute it's not even chaos. I was going to use the word chaos, but it's not that. It's the most wonderfully organized, sharp, professional event where people from all over the world who love food and love Melbourne get together. I'm hoping the people who are listening today, that most of you have had some kind of experience in the last 2 weeks. Tomorrow it finishes. There's it on the 15th, but what inspired our chat was basically the bakery. So if you've been down to the bakery and cafe at Queensbridge Square on the river, it is one hell of a pop-up. So by that, basically, a pop-up to me is a temporary business, a temporary space. And what they've done is different bakers, different yeasts, different styles of bread making. It's been the most phenomenal undertaking. And we started, Pete Dillon and I, when we were talking about the show today, started to talk about, well, what is a pop-up? It's we've seen bars. I report on things like this often in my other roles. And a bar might be a pop-up. Someone might rent an empty space for a little while, set up something even in the outdoors. People who organise big events, is that functions or caterings, or are they considered the kind of pop-up in a way? And when a pop-up becomes a permanent fixture, was it ever a pop-up? So many questions and so much fun. I'm just going to think about, well, firstly, we've got Kate Stewart. She'll be in as soon as we can. And Dan Sims and the guys from Vintaloper are also coming in. And they're talking to us. They've actually done some extraordinary wine pop-ups. The Melbourne Food and Wine Festival has basically got their last day. Breakfast Around the Tan tomorrow is what's on. And they have organised the most extraordinary things. So Around the Tan, it's about 3.2 kilometres, I believe, around the Tan of the Royal Botanical Gardens. So if you get down there tomorrow morning, family, friends, everyone's welcome. There's all these different stations. You stop at each station. There's water and pears at the first one. There's yoghurt. There's baked beans at another one. Mushrooms on toast. Beautiful bread from La Madre Bakery. There's frittatas. There's burritos, breakfast burritos. We're very excited about the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival tomorrow.
To find out more about at joy94.9. Check out joy.org.au.
Hi, I'm Heston Blumenthal. You're with Pete Dillon on Cravings on Joy 94.9.
Thank you, Heston. You're not with Pete Dillon today. You're with Hilary McNevin, and we are on Joy 94.9. We're talking cravings, we're talking food, pop-ups and events. Now, a lot of people may have questions about this, so please feel free to SMS us on 0427-JOY949. That's 0427-569-949. You can call us on 1300-JOY949 or email us onair@joy.org.au. Love questions. Really happy to bring them on, because I think pop-ups have become a bit of a thing the last 5 years or so, and it's almost a term some people refuse to use. It's a term some people embrace. I've got a guest on the line who is going to help, I guess, talk about what he does and what he terms it, but also how he does it and how it helps his business. I'd like to welcome David Bowley from the Vintner Urban Wine Project. Sorry, I said Vintner and I meant to say Vinterloper Urban Wine Project. Hello, David. Welcome.
Hey, Hilary.
How you going?
Yeah, good, good. How are you?
I'm really well, thank you. How's New Zealand?
Bright and sunny today. Yeah, oh. looking very nice. I just got here last night.
So. Are you popping up? Are you doing a pop-up in New Zealand, I have to ask?
No. I haven't got that far yet.
Okay.
Just, relocated here for the next 12 months with my wife, who's got a job down here.
So. Oh, congratulations.
Yeah. A bit of fun, something different. It's a really nice country, actually, and the people are beautiful, so it's... Yeah, we've been really enjoying it so far.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, tell us, though, you've got one more event coming up next week here in Melbourne. Will you be back for that? Because I think I'd love you to talk us through what Vinterloper is. And you've brought the Urban Winery Project to Melbourne for the first time this month, in the last few weeks. So
yeah.
Can you tell us a bit about what that is?
I have brought Vinterloper to Melbourne in a pop-up capacity. Yeah, so Vinterloper is a winery based out of the Adelaide Hills, which I started and still run by
yes,
myself.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty small little operation, but having a crack and being pretty determined with both the wine styles and also sort of the approach and pop-ups as a part of that. And yeah, you mentioned in the introduction about, you know, pop-ups have been sort of like happening for about the last 5 or so years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's... Yeah, that's pretty much when I started it.
Okay.
This urban winery project, which is in Melbourne for the first time,
yes,
has actually, I've done this in Adelaide 3 previous years.
Yep.
And it's essentially where I pack up my winery from the Adelaide Hills, which
yep.
is just a shed, really. It's not even, there's no cellar door and there's nothing even really worth visiting.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the idea came about. So I pack up my entire winery, find somewhere quirky and interesting within the sort of metro area, as close to the CBD as possible.
Yeah.
And I literally bring it down and set it up and then open it up for people to come along and participate in the whole kind of vintage thing.
So great. It's not you moving your wines like and setting up a bottle shop somewhere to sell your wines. You actually want people to get their hands dirty.
Yeah, no, that's right. Sell it all, part of it, we do as well.
Sure.
And that came about because... during the first year, I didn't actually do that. It was just the wine making and sharing the kind of process. Almost every single person who came asked, so can we taste the wines or can we buy the wines or
yeah.
How do we get a hold of your stuff? So, yeah, there's that element to it, but definitely the focus is sort of pulling back the curtain and letting people into the, you know, backstage to how we actually make wine in a really manual and really fun way. So,
and how big is... That sounds like a huge thing to actually have to pick up and move. So what do you actually, how big is it? I know you notice you've got a warehouse in West Melbourne. How long does it take to actually, I guess, bump it in and create what you want to create?
Each year has been different. So I've tried to evolve the concept.
Yep.
But the short answer is it's an incredibly large amount of work.
I'll bet.
And I'm just lucky that I'm young and fit and strong.
Yes. A sturdy young man. Yes.
Yeah. Actually, just to correct that little point there, the West Melbourne location, unfortunately, had a couple of problems with that. So we've had to move to Northcote for this series
right.
in Melbourne, but it's been really great because the Northcote location is awesome
right.
and actually more convenient for a lot of people. But,
sure.
So, yeah, it's a matter of, you know, it's a couple of truckloads of stuff. There's, you know, barrels, unfortunately, they don't pack down very well. So it's just a bulk.
No, they wouldn't. I'm just thinking, okay, yep. How many people does
you know,
it, yeah, does one of you? Can you do that on your own?
I like to rope in friends for a bit of help.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. I mean, wineries are not generally that mobile, but
no.
Yeah, my press, I've got this amazing 40-year-old sort of basket press that you just had refurbished this year. And,
yep.
You know, it weighs about 150 kilos, but it's relatively... relatively mobile. Like, it's not huge. It's about the size of a barrel.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's definitely movable. And then, you know, the tanks I've got are, you know, it's not my entire winery, so I'm not bringing 5,000 and 10,000 litre tanks.
Right.
But you know, I'm bringing barrels and my press, and the fermenters are quite small. You know, we're talking about, you know, about 500 kilograms of grapes per fermenter, which is going to produce about 400 bottles of wine. So
yeah,
it's not you know, nothing to be sneezed at, but at the same time, manageable, I think.
It's yeah. What fascinates me is that. Can I ask a very blunt question? Why would you do this? Why wouldn't you just get people to come to your winery? Is that harder than it seems, really? Is it easy to come? I guess it's the logical answer. It's easy to come into the inner city. But is it worth it?
Yep. Absolutely, it's worth it. Yeah.
Yep.
Why wouldn't I get people to come to my winery? Well, that's what everyone else does, Hillary. I'm trying to challenge people.
I like this, yeah.
Look at things from a different perspective. And
yep.
And you know what? It's really convenient for people if I come.
Well, it would be. And it must be rewarding for you, because I bet you're seeing people that wouldn't either can't, time-wise, budget-wise, for whatever reason, can't get to your winery, but you're bringing it to them, and I'm sure
you're spot on.
Yeah.
And exposing those people to who I am and what I do and the wines that I make. And,
yes.
And, you know, perhaps because I'm, you know, a pretty small player in a pretty flooded market, you know, perhaps introducing people to wines that they wouldn't normally see.
What do you grow? Or what do you make? Tell us a bit about your wines.
So I'm making about 12 or 13 different wines across multiple varieties. Some of the highlights, you know, like my real passions are for Riesling from the Clare Valley and Pinot Noir from the Adelaide Hills.
Yeah.
So I make 3 Rieslings and 2 Pinots.
Yes.
They're all from those two areas. But then, you know, really interesting varieties, like working with Tarriga Nacional, which is a Portuguese variety.
Yeah.
And really interesting, you know, that
what's that producing? Amazing, like, what's that showing?
It's a full-bodied red, but I'm picking it a little earlier than traditional.
Yeah.
So what you're getting is this amazing floral, and like it's lavender and crushed violets, and but it has a delicious kind of texture, and it's really slurpable. It's an amazing wine and heaps of fun, and something that people
that sounds
are,
delicious.
Are starting to make note of.
Would yeah. that be something that you would drink in this similar context to a Pinot Noir, like a lighter red style of red? Then
it's a little heavier than that, but
yeah.
I think along the lines of, say, your Tempranillos and your Sangioveses and
beautiful
and wines like that, you know. So it's from that you know, that Iberian kind of area, so, and goes beautifully with all that sort of cuisine as well. It's really great. I love making that wine.
Oh,
it's
that's
really
wonderful. Really, do you bring those grapes? Because that's the other thing. I'm imagining then you bring grapes, and people would see the differences in the different grape varieties, then, wouldn't they?
And yeah, they do, and that's part of the fun. So this year, over in Northcote, I've been playing around with Shiraz.
Yes.
Is a variety that's familiar to almost everyone in Australia. So
yep.
That's some grapes from Heathcote, right up just in the northern Victoria there. And also yeah. Some Malbec. I've got some Malbec going at the moment.
Wonderful.
So, yeah, another sort of emerging variety for Australia. And then looking at some other alternatives for the week coming, I think I'm getting some Lagrain.
Tell us about that.
You know, Lagrain is a variety I haven't worked with much before,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, really excited. It's got small berries. It's a red wine grape, for
yeah.
those who are
no, I've
who
tried
are not
it.
Sure.
Mm.
Yeah, you know, it's a bit of a tough one. I don't know. It's,
are you growing it yourself, or are you buying the Lagrain grapes from somewhere else?
Yeah, I'm buying these ones from the Chalmers family.
Oh. You know,
they've got a vineyard up in Heathcote.
Yeah, probably. They're great. I like him.
Yeah.
If you're listening. Yeah.
Really, really lovely people, and they've been really supportive with my projects over the last couple of years, providing me with grapes, which I'm obviously buying, but, you know, giving me the chance to work with some really unique varieties, such as Lagrain. And,
yes.
And last year I worked with Refosco, which is a variety I've never even heard of either, but... Has made a really fun wine, and we're messing around and showing that at the Northcote space on
and
Wednesday.
Can you
night.
Give us the address of the Northcote space?
Absolutely. It's number 16 Albert Street, Northcote. Yes.
16 Albert Street, Northcote. And what time on Wednesday night can people come visit?
Well, we kick off the winemaking immersion and sort of fun from 6.
Yes.
But we understand that everyone's kind of got other commitments, especially on a work day. So
yes.
The key thing about the Urban Winery Project this year, the evolution, is that we've taken it to a new level with a massive focus on food. So we've got an incredible feast that the Pot and Pan Culinary Tailors are doing for us.
Oh, how wonderful. So they can come and have dinner and make wine at the same time.
Yeah, and a beautiful feast. This week we're doing a bit of a Korean-Mexican fusion.
Right.
Sam Gant, the chef is working with that sort of playful combination of that, you know, the sesame flavours and the classic flavours of Korean food, but the freshness of Mexican food. It's going to be a heaps of fun.
David, it's great. Well, look, I just wanted to say thank you so much for taking the time to call us from New Zealand, and we wish you well for
the
next 12 months. But people can come and seek you out on Wednesday night. You'll be back in Melbourne then?
I'll be back. Yeah, it's a ticketed event.
Oh, great.
And people should jump onto it because we do have limited tickets left.
Okay, so Vintaloper. Is that where we're...
Vintaloper. Yeah, if you search that on Eventbrite, it's probably the best way to find us.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much. And
my
thank
pleasure,
you for bringing it to Melbourne, and please bring it back again.
Oh, I hope so. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you. Take care. We'll be back in a moment just after this message.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Joy G'day, sponsor. I'm Pete Evans, and you are with Pete Dillon on Cravings on Joy 94.9.
You certainly are on Cravings on Joy 94.9. You're not with Pete Dillon, though, I'm afraid to say. You're with Hilary McNevin. I have the pleasure of filling in for Pete today, and we're talking pop-ups. We've just had a chat to David Bowley from Vintaloper in the Adelaide Hills, who is based in New Zealand now for 12 months, and he's moving a lot. But he obviously has found the advantages to actually having a pop-up, and it sounds like he's moving a winery, teaching people how to make wine, and it sounded like a great concept to me, really interesting. And we're keeping the wine theme going, actually, in terms of pop-ups. But as Dave mentioned, he's bringing in a lot of food into his context. And our next guest is, I believe, a semi-regular on Cravings. I know he and Pete are great old mates. And he's calling live from Taste in Sydney. It's Dan Sims. And I can hear the event in the background.
You can, Hilary. It's a gorgeous day here in Sydney. The weather's almost as good as Melbourne, would you believe it?
Almost as good. Gee, I think, was that the first time ever someone has said the weather is almost as good as Melbourne? I think that's a very funny sentence.
I always like saying that to people in Sydney.
Well, you know, is it almost as erratic, almost as unpredictable? I don't know.
Exactly. Well, it's sunny on one side and then clouds on the other. But it's a gorgeous day up here. And everyone's out. There's so many people. There's a real buzz to Taste up here today. So it's kind of fitting that you're talking about pop-ups. And
yeah,
is this a pop-up?
Is Taste a pop-up or is it an event?
I mean, it's an event, but really these type of events really do pop up. And
yes.
They have to get built and put together and then they get all pulled down again. And so I think I suppose it is really a pop-up, isn't it?
Well, and it has a lifespan of a few days, right? So it's
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so this is, I think, going from about 3-4 days.
So it kind of is a pop-up then. But do you see a difference between those two terms anymore? I'm sure there are differences, yes. But how do you perceive each of them?
Well, I think I like the idea of the whole pop-up. And you mentioned Dave Bowley's thing before you spoke to him. That's an awesome idea in terms of getting people in, especially around a short period of time around vintage, and then sort of going on to the next thing. And I think there is an attractiveness or something new and something fun. And I suppose with the whole pop-up idea is that you have an opportunity to trial things and to see if they work or if they don't, rather than having the full-on commitment and investment of a certain concept straight away.
So what's a successful, off the top of your head, if you can, a successful pop-up you've seen or been to, not one you've organised, or is there something that impressed you recently or went on to do something better or greater?
Well, if you look at it like Supernormal, there's a great example where that was there for a short period of time, and that was a great opportunity for them to have a bit of a play with the concept and the food and the style. And I was very jealous because I live around the corner from on Smith Street, and now they've moved into the city. And I think that's a really good, idea there. And I mean, you look at Leho Fook before they opened; they were doing a few dinners at Pay Modern to sort of trial out things. And so I think there's certainly a lot of merit in terms of doing this. So you have that chance to trial these new things. And we do the same thing with our events as well. Mm. It's like you've got an opportunity to try things and see how they work. And
and then adapt and before you go on to the next one.
Well, tell us a bit about when you say in the events and things you do. I know Pino Palooza is one of your babies. You've got World Malbec Day coming up. We've got some things to talk about. Tell us you've taken things around the country. Do you do it for a few days? Give us an example of a couple of things you've done.
Well, the big one that we do is Pino Palooza, where we're actually taking it to 5 cities this year.
Wow.
We did it in Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane for the last couple of years.
Yep.
And this is our 4th year. So, we're taking over to Adelaide and Perth. And then also we've got Game of Thrones, which we're doing in 4 cities in Australia and actually taking it to New Zealand for the first time.
This year?
Yeah, this year. So it's going to be really exciting and slightly daunting.
I bet it's daunting, but well done. But so for everyone, I guess the name says it all. Pinot Palooza. Do you highlight just Victorian or just Australian Pinot Noir?
We used to celebrate. Obviously, there's always a strong focus of Victorian wines at Pinot Palooza. But we also look at wines from across the Dutch, from New Zealand as well. So we've had about 50 odd producers and generally about 150 different types of Pinot Noir, and we just mix it up with a little bit of music as well, and have a lot of fun with it. And
do you offer a food element as well?
Always got to have food. And I think, depending on each state, we always work with local restaurants and food trucks and food vans. I mean, they're the quintessential pop-up things, aren't they? They just pop up all over the place. But I think you always got to have a good food component. And again, it's always, trying new things and coming up with new ways to, really engage and just have fun, And then as we're talking about Malbec Day coming up, and what I love about Malbec Day is it's not just Malbec, but, of course, empanadas.
Hello. Keep talking.
meat. What is it about meat and pastry? It's a global
comfort.
It's just, we all love it. Meat in pastry is one of the best things ever.
I know, but imagine if you're a vegetarian who doesn't eat pastry. I'm sorry. I'm very respectful. I'm just thinking you're missing out because Dan and I like those. Dan and I would happily meet over an empanada and beer any day.
Absolutely. It's funny you say that. I saw a vegan festival advert right out the front of Porteño on my way here to Tate. I thought that was quite funny. Anyway, for Melbourne Day,
that's called living in harmony, I think.
Yeah, I know.
I like that.
Don't think that's your target demographic anyway.
We're
doing the Golden Empanada Trophy again this year, and which is literally a golden empanada. I always have to say it in caps or something. It's crazy. And Huxtable won it last year with a prawn and chorizo empanada, and then we have a People's Choice as well, which was won by San Telmo. So
last year. So tell me though about this. Is this a pop up where you then sell empanadas for a few days? Is that a one off event? What is this?
It's going to be a one off event.
And
that's really so it's going to be at Ormond Hall on April 17th.
Yep.
And we'll have probably around 400 odd people. We'll have about four or five restaurants doing their empanadas, probably 2 or 3 each.
Gosh.
And then we've crossed our wonderful judges, of which you are one.
I know. I'm very thrilled and honoured to be part of this.
Which is going to be great.
Yeah.
Of course, we take it very seriously, and we judge them out of consistency, the pastry, filling, and then the all important deliciousness.
So I'm taking notes right now just in case I think, for my judge's criteria, in case I'm too excited on the day. But I just, going back to the pop-up thing, is there then any room for Dan seems to eventually have rent a space for 3 months and have an empanada and wine kind of pop-up?
Absolutely. And where this sort of stemmed, this came from was we had a little pop-up Malbec bar where we ran it for 2 or 3 nights. At the Windsor, where you would come in, have a glass of wine, have a couple of empanadas. But yeah, absolutely. I think that's something that I would, I'd love to do. And I think having a home is really important, but having the ability to come and do these type of events and sort of get out from behind the kitchen. I mean, you look at the restaurants that are here, there's, 414, the guys from Pequeno, Movida.
Yes.
I mean, they're all here at this event to sort of come in. I think it gets them right in front of the public, and I think that's a win-win for everybody.
Oh, it's about, and you're all these places that people are like, I can't get there or I haven't got time to, that you bring them all together, and I think that's I guess it's another kind of pop-up and even if it's a one-off event, it's a great moment to expose people to lots of different great food. But we have to go in a moment, Daniel Sims.
Well, that's all right. We'll have fun. It's always wonderful to chat.
I know, I could chat for hours. Where do people find out more about Empanada Day?
empanada is Galgito Hill. And yep. It's Galgito Hill is in G-I-L,
yes.
But pronounced Hill, .com.au. And,
right.
We've got our early tango tickets finish up on Sunday. It's just $35.
Yep.
And you get a beautiful Rita wine glass. And you get to come along, taste all the Malbecs and buy all the little empanadas and just have a
great.
Fun. And there's tango and beer and all that sort of stuff. It's going
to
be fun.
Dan, enjoy Sydney. And thank you so much for taking the time out to chat to us.
My pleasure. Thanks so much, Hillary.
Thanks, Dan. Bye.
Bye.
Gay Radio. Online. All the time. Joy.org.au.
Bonjour, I am Gabriel Gatte. You are listening to Cravings with Peter Dillon on Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Thank you very much, Gabriel Gatte. And it's not quite Pete Dillon today. It usually is on a Saturday afternoon, but I am filling in for him. I'm Hilary McNevin. I'm a food writer here in Melbourne, and we're on Cravings on Joy 94.9. Now, it's 1:44. That is 16 minutes to 2 o'clock. And if you'd like to ask any questions, please do so on 0427-JOY-949, call 1300-JOY-949, or email us onair@joy.org.au. Pop-ups, we've been talking about them, and we've been talking about people doing them and having events and bringing wineries into the city, that kind of thing. Our next two guests are actually going to give us advice about if you're thinking of doing one, what to consider and how to get your head around it. They both have an awful lot to offer. We've got Kate Stewart here, who is the owner and founder of catering company Bright Young Things. Hello, Kate.
Hi, Hilary.
And we've got Adam Del Mastro, who is on the line from looking after four children, I must say. And he is also the director of Pop Union. Hi, Adam. One of the directors of Pop Union, which is really really interesting. How old is Pop Union, Adam? And welcome to the show, by the way.
Oh, thank you very much, Hilary, and hello, Kate. Pop Union is actually reasonably young. It's about 18 months old now. It actually started out as a way to get social enterprises, retail space, and just some kind of consumer traction, which is something that I think social enterprises often struggle with.
Yeah.
And Pop Union very quickly started developing some relationships with property, which was who they were mostly talking to for arrangements that, you know, that were coming to, and that just grew into an ability to start navigating more interesting terrain on the retail front, and then once we started coming into contact with spaces, content started coming to us to find spaces, and increasingly retail and food and beverage concepts.
So concepts, say for example, if I may say Kate, who as a caterer wanted to set up something for a month, let's say. And Kate, correct me if that's a crazy thing. It might be, but might not be.
No.
But could she come to you and offer, and how would you advise her? What are the things you would say to someone? Because Kate is often asked for advice too. So I'd like to talk to both of you about what you both offer in terms of advice. Adam.
Well, look, everything in what we often describe as the short-term real estate is kind of case-by-case basis, because sometimes it's an operator who needs a site for 1 week, but they need a week on either side of that, so they kind of need it for a month.
Yeah.
They're looking for a space, and sometimes it's a space that is available for 6 months, and they approach us about wanting to either do something or find some kind of content or a tenant for the space for that period.
Yeah.
For us, it's always about sitting down with either the site holder or the operator and working out what their goals are, because it really has to be about some strategic goals.
An exciting way, Adam, to actually utilise spaces that in the past might have just sat there and been empty. And we found from a client point of view that clients are so interested in what's new and always wanting something different. And so for us, one of the biggest struggles is always finding the newest spot, somewhere where they haven't had an event before, somewhere that's going to offer a little bit of a special experience for their guests and their brand. It's always a challenge to match the clients and the spaces and the budgets and what they want to do.
Yeah. And Adam, do you have clients who come to you and they're people who actually have sites that they want to utilise only for 6 months, or do you have people wanting, or do you deal with both?
Not only Pop Union, but, you know, myself on a personal level, I get approached more by spaces than operators. I mean,
okay.
I have one of the main reasons why I've joined Pop Union is that I came from a food and beverage management background. I was the general manager of Auction Rooms for about 3 years, and
right.
St. Ali and Seven Seas after that. And so I brought to the team a network of food and beverage and operator contacts because we were being approached by spaces and needing to develop content. I think I often think of Pop Union as being kind of content strategies for vacant spaces. And yep. So this was a way to really start marrying great operators with strategic goals in mind to interesting spaces that were available for, you know, either a short time or, you know, that had a specific goal in mind for the space.
Is there ever a time where they'll take it over for a month, but it actually turns into a long-term, like, permanent fixture?
Absolutely. And, yeah. I mean,
so then, is it ever a pop-up? Just, you know.
Is it ever a pop-up? Absolutely. I mean, I think one of the best reasons to do a pop-up is actually, especially if you're a food and beverage operator, to test a concept in yes. a low-risk setting. And I think that not all of them do well. Some of them fail miserably. And you know, it's a great way to do that and so not still be looking at
it. How would I do one at the moment?
Well, I was just thinking of the difference between, you're talking about what pop-ups, it's almost like it's a luxury. I'm going to give myself 3 months to see if this concept works. As a caterer, though, Kate, you have to pull an event off. You know, I'm going to come to you and do you have people wanting to cater for you over a month or 3 months? Or are you just strictly an event caterer? You know, is there a difference between pop-ups and events to you?
It's something we talk about quite a bit.
Yeah.
So I see events, every event we do is almost a pop-up. Everything we do is something that's catering, I guess, is dealing in a more temporary world. So we're used to creating things that then disappear. I think pop-ups has sort of grown and become a little bit more, and we do work with projects that are sort of longer time periods, but for us, well, being an event caterer and what it means changes every day.
Well, of course, yeah. And I guess in terms of, Adam, what you do, I guess it would change. You would have different requirements and needs every day, right? From your clients.
I mean, one of the reasons we talk about, you know, I think what used to be an event is now sometimes called a pop-up is, I think it's really just pop-ups, events through the looking glass. You know, I think a branded yeah. pop-up is effectively, you know, we just did a little pop-up bar over the summer for Aperol, yeah. and that was basically an event, but it was sponsored by Aperol, and they asked us to develop it for them. Mm-hmm. It's really not that different. It's just kind of, again, you know, through the looking glass, it's a brand wanting to do something as a pop-up.
It's another form of marketing.
It is. In fact, I mean, we're talking about strategic goals. One of the best reasons to do it is if you want to effectively, you know, turn it into a marketing exercise. And
yeah.
I think one of the things that is appealing, and I know a lot of people bemoan either corporates or larger companies doing little pop-ups, and I think people have a really special place in their heart for the little guy trying to do something brave in a you know, in a short time. But what's appealing for larger companies is that they can effectively run at, you know, sometimes, you know, at worst, a cost-neutral marketing exercise, at, yeah. you know, at best, you know, a profitable one. And that's a much more appealing, you know, outlay for a larger company than just putting up billboards or, you know, old-school advertising.
Or creating ads. And Melbourne's yeah. got such a foodie crew. Melbourne's so foodie. We're always after the latest thing.
It's amazing.
That it's really the perfect demographic
to... part of the pop-up audience yeah. At the moment is just that, I guess, the byproduct of the broadsheet, you know, craze, which is, you know, what's new.
Yes.
It's becoming more and more difficult to sustain a restaurant over time, but increasingly that's still the goal. We're dealing with a lot of operators who are using pop-ups as a stepping stone towards something more permanent, to establishing their visibility and turning it, you know, from a food truck to two food trucks to a semi-permanent, you know, structure somewhere to an actual venue.
Bricks and mortar. And, Kate, that leads me to my next question I'll put to both of you. Kate, you said earlier when you walked in, people ask you about advice on pop-ups often. What are the things, do you kind of tell them to run in hard, don't do it? Or what do you tell them to think about?
Well, often people come to us because they want us to be involved with the pop-ups as well, and
yeah,
I get
sure.
excited by every idea that comes our way. But we're also in a place where we're trying to make sure that we work with projects that are going to be success for all partners that are involved. And so I think it's a matter of you're excited by a concept, a project, you're passionate about bringing someone out and doing a pop-up concept, but you need to actually think about all those unexpected costs that are related to the project, and especially if you're doing something for only a number of days, you know, how is the space going to work? What are you going to have to bring in? How's the marketing going to work? Are you going to get it out to enough people? Is it going to be sold out? And make sure that you really have a strong marketing plan and project and team in there to actually make it work, and that the costs are going to be covered.
Sure. And Adam, what are the bits of advice? Sorry to cut you off there for a moment, Kate. We're sort of running out of time. But Adam, what advice, because they're great points. So if you're out there thinking of pop-up, I hope you've got a pen and are writing these things down. But Adam, what do you recommend to people if they're just thinking about it at the start? I have this great idea. I want to sell something to people. It's a food. You know, it's food. What do they do?
Look, the way we approach everything, we have an entire strategy team, which is basically a way for us to work out what exactly it is they want. Mm-hmm. And then people generally come to us as opposed to being involved because they want us to develop the strategy for them. Sometimes it's an operator who doesn't have the time or understands that they don't really understand the Melbourne market as much as they need to for the goal that they have or for the space they have. And then we usually work through on their behalf, what the pitfalls are and what the risks are. And it's almost always just about return on investment. I mean, you've got a short time, you've got a debatable level of transaction density, and, if it doesn't go well and, you're looking at losing money increasingly over the duration of the pop-up, then you need to work out whether it's better to get out ahead or whether, how soon to call it a failure or not.
That's it. We've just got to wrap it up in a moment. So if you can.
Of course, yeah.
No, that's fine. Where can people find Pop Union? Because I think what you do is very interesting. Is it popunion.com.au?
Just .com.
Even better, popunion.com. Look up there and they can contact you, can't they, Adam?
If absolutely, please do, yeah.
Oh, that's great. Look, thank you so much for being on the show.
My pleasure.
And I hope the kid's well.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
That was Adam Del Maestro from Pop Union, which is basically a great advisory service and business. We'll be back in a moment.
Download the Joy 94.9 smartphone app today. See joy.org.au.
Hi, I'm Katrina Hyam, and you're listening to Cravings with Pete Dillon on Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
It's Hilary McNevin here actually filling in for Pete Dillon today, but I think you all know that by now, and we've only got a few minutes to go to wrap up the show. It's been great. I've learnt a lot, and I've had a great time. I hope you have too, talking about... It's a hell of a lot of work, whatever it is. If it's a pop-up or an event, it takes work and time and commitment. I'd also like to say thanks for the messages. Brad sent a message in, and we got another one about a lovely little South Yarra restaurant, so thank you very much for that. But, Kate, tell me, you are the Breakfast on the Tan girl tomorrow, aren't you?
One of them.
You and your team. How many staff will that take tomorrow?
We've got 70 of our Healthy Bites staff on site tomorrow, and then Melbourne Food and Wine will have masses of volunteers as well. So it's a big team. I'm heading straight to the Tan after this two-door walkthrough with the key team, and I've been in the kitchen this morning watching watching the team make hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of beautiful wraps and frittatas and all sorts for tomorrow morning. So I'm very excited.
Oh, look, it'll be wonderful. How many guests or customers are you expecting?
1,500, so it's
a sleepy event.
It almost is, I think.
Are you going to get any sleep tonight?
I'm going to be in bed early.
And what time do you have to get there?
On Saturday night, I think, for a while. So yeah. I think my wake-up call is about 4, 4.30.
Sure. And what time does the event start?
The first guests start walking around the town at 8.30, but we're open for registration from 7 a.m. So,
right. So it goes in how many, in a group?
In groups, yeah. So from 8.30 until about 10.
Yep.
And we've got an activation area that's sort of set up until about 12. So all morning, all sorts going on, lots of fun. We're doing a little bit of table tennis at our activation area.
Yeah.
And
there's plenty of tickets available still, or is it?
I actually think it's selling. I think I know there's a lot of. Yeah, I think it might be sold out.
Okay, so well, if it is sold out, get yourself to the cafe pop up bakery at Queensbridge Square for the last day, because it will be after tomorrow. It will be no more. And on that note, I would like to say thank you very much to Pete Dillon for asking me in to help out today. I've had a great show. It's a pleasure here on Joy 94.9 every time I'm in. My name is Hilary McNevin, and I wish you a very happy Saturday. Thank you to all our guests. Bye-bye.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.